And welcome to a Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Stakey's Rusty Manziel. It's the fastest 2 hours. In radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Busy show ahead. Lots more on March Madness. Getting ready. I know Rusty wants to talk Braves. We'll do that. A lot of the goings on in Athens, which we'll touch on. The inside word on what was not a good 36-hour stretch there for Kirby and some of those guys. And just in general, all the things you expect. What's supposed to be a pretty nice weekend,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man, I'm done with this weather. I hope this is it.
Dude, last night?
This
are
morning?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, God. First day of spring.
I ain't going to lie to you. I had a bad day yesterday. Now I have not been feeling well, and I'm never really get sick. So I'm in bed watching the NCAA tourney, which did not go well for our producer's picks yesterday. Let me just say that.
Hmm.
But like everybody else, getting smoked trying to figure out that tournament. And then my kid had a soccer game at 6:45 p.m. Do you know what it felt like last night at 6:45 p.m.?
I do. I went outside. It was ridiculous.
And I'm already, so I got out of bed to go do that.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, these parents are like, did he just get out of detox? Like, I'm over there, like, shaking. I'm pacing. And I was like, oh, God, please let this game in. Please let this game
dude.
In. And then I had it in my head, like, you can't go to the car and watch. That's soft, right? What's you have to watch your kid out there. And I'm just, and I'm getting my scores. This is not going good. This is not going good. And I'm shivering. I mean, they must have thought, you know, that young man's got some major issues.
Well, Kaylee's old enough now to hear it. So the statute of limitations is over. I think she was a 10U softball fast pitch travel team. Really, we were really good. The two head coaches and myself had a off-the-site coaches meeting one night, and we were out pretty late. We had a Sunday morning bracket game, like at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
The head coach looked at me and goes, Rusty, please go turn the lineup in. If I fall down on that third baseline, we're in trouble. I'm telling you,
we were
out way too late. And luckily, the girls were 10. They're like, you know, they're full of energy. I'm like, guys, please, for the Lord of God, just don't win today. We roll off like 5. We're there like 8 o'clock at night.
Listen,
man.
One of the great realities of travel ball for anybody is hoping for the L on Sunday.
Dude.
It's like, hold on a second. I'm going to be in the finals at what time?
Or you don't want that first morning game on Sunday morning like we had.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You know.
Well, how about when you're playing like, we're playing for the what? Third place at 4 o'clock and I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee? Like, uh-uh.
Dude, you get
or
that.
Or how about the gap?
Hey.
How about the 10 a.m. for one game, maybe 11 for a second, but then you don't get to that third game until 6 p.m.?
They really get you when they tell you you're coming back Sunday for that bronze bracket. A.K.A. the mama loves you bracket.
Oh, right.
All the dads are like, are we really going back for bronze bracket?
Yeah, I know. Especially like, when you're, I don't know, Franklin, Tennessee
yeah.
or Orlando.
We're
for
really
going to
play the Rockets from Huntsville in the morning. We both went 0-2 yesterday. Can we get the hell
right.
out of here?
The bronze bracket. The mama loves you. Right?
The mama loves you bracket,
yeah.
baby.
They hadn't won a game. We hadn't won a game.
Yeah.
I know they feel like we got to get to play
we
our
gotta
three
regroup.
Games.
We got
to
regroup.
Well, no, but the tournament says like we're going to get you 3 or 4 games. Like, yep. We'll be fine.
A.K.A. bring your ass back for that gate fee.
Yeah. So, anyways, it was nasty out last night, but should be a beautiful weekend, a little colder
man.
In the morning,
yep.
and lots to get to. I mean, the longer you don't have to hear my diatribe about that Georgia game, like there's 68 teams that made the tournament, 68. I promise you, nobody will look worse than what happened in Georgia. They are number 68. That was a debacle. Now, we talked a lot yesterday, Rusty, that all the sharps were on Gonzaga.
I saw that.
They were a underseeded team. That's fine. That you know they always get out of the first weekend. Now, if they get out of the first weekend this year, they're going to beat Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, if you didn't know that they were going to come at you with offensive firepower, I knew from the first shot that we missed.
Wasn't even close.
Great.
Wasn't even close.
Dude, we had 8 turnovers in the first.
We shot 2 air balls in the first half in a Division I March Madness. I'm talking about 2 Wednesday night Church League air balls.
There's not a 30-point loser that looked worse than us. There's not a 40-point loser that looked worse than us. That
terrible,
was
just terrible start. You know what I mean? You can't do that. Gonzaga, and digging deep, look, with my heart on that pick with Georgia. But here's the reality, and I'm going to talk about the basketball a little more with Drake. The reason Calipari doesn't do the one-and-dones anymore, that model's over. That's over. Gonzaga had four senior starters and one junior. They had a dude playing against Asa Newell like his granddad. You know what I mean? Like, it was grown-ass men against these guys. And then Georgia shot god-awful. And then Gonzaga
but that's – but listen, Georgia is who – you know, like, yeah, they had some big SEC moments. But there's no excuse for
not,
coming
not
out –
not 27
getting run
not 20,
out of the
not
27 gym.
To 3. Not
getting run out of the gym
yep.
like that.
No.
Come on, Mike White. You know what's going on. He didn't call a timeout.
That's what until
it was 27-3.
27-3.
Your
dude.
Team is not prepared. I don't care how old you are. It's the end of your freshman or sophomore year.
Got to call.
You're
a
not a baby anymore.
Got to call.
Those turnovers early, and watching Gonzaga go back the other way, that was a dreadful coaching performance. I'm sorry, Asa Newell. Get your best player the ball. Run offense. Do you see the offense that Mark Few runs? And how guys get open.
Wide open.
Listen, I promise you, I'll go to the Jewish Community Center and I'll find four doctors and ophthalmologists that would have made the same three-pointers that Gonzaga because they were wide open. Running an offense with motion, getting guys open, attacking up and down the floor, and we're going one-on-one with Silas Demery trying to take guys off the dribble, and then maybe Asa Newell gets an offensive rebound.
Man, they were so ready for that switch. They were so ready for that. Those what George was running offensively.
One team was totally prepared for that game. One was not. You could see it coming a mile away when it was 5-0, 8-0, 11-0. You're like, okay,
13.
How did you not anticipate that that could happen? And sometimes Vegas or the Sharps are just right. They were with the Drake game, where a lot of people said, "Listen, Drake shouldn't even be an underdog against Missouri." Drake went out last night and looked great, but it was a wild day.
The tournament. You beat Kentucky. You beat St. John's. You beat Florida.
I know, but
I agree. I'm not going to be Mama.
You're on
you
the national stage.
Yep.
You're down 27. That was humiliation. Yep. Let me just say something. Yes, my daughter goes to Georgia, and of course I root for that program, and I'm a big college basketball fan. That was the worst fan experience of any game that I have ever watched. You were literally never in the game 5 seconds in. We never made a run. There wasn't a moment we thought we could get back in it. It was a miserable 2.5 hours that I've ever rooted for a team. They were never in the game. I've seen teams get blown out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you were blown out in 4 minutes, and we sat around for 2 hours and went between 18 and 26.
Yeah, I was hoping they would make a run
right
there. 27-3, just got to call a timeout before that. This is a huge offseason for those guys.
Listen.
Three sophomores. Asa Newell's gone. You know, you got Dominique Wilkinson from Grayson coming in. You know, can you get him? What are you going to do in the portal? Can you keep Blue Kane? Can you keep
Silas?
He's a freshman. Silas Demery is a sophomore.
Sophomore.
Yep. So
that's fine. You got to be better than that. And you got to, you know, listen, the bottom of the SEC, Texas is out, Missouri is out, Georgia's mm-hmm. out. It's the big boys up front. And you're not one of the big boys.
Yeah.
The big boys are, there's five of them: Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky, and who am I leaving out?
A&M won last night.
Alabama.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the five big boys. Those are the real teams, okay? You're not one of those five. You're not A&M. You're not Ole Miss. We'll see how that plays out today. Ole Miss has an interesting game as well, but we'll talk to Pat Bradley, who went to Arkansas, and is on the SEC Network as well. All right, let's do a quick 9 at 9. Well, Rusty put a tweet out.
Golly,
that
man.
Was about as entertaining as it gets. Now, the basketball side of it, that was the biggest win of the day yesterday, that team, or what?
Yeah, McNeese State, for sure.
Out of Louisiana.
Yep.
That
Will Wade, new coach for NC State. Hey, how about that?
Clemson had 13 points in the first half.
31-13.
In the first half, Clemson had 13 points.
Were they a Final Four team last year? Final eight.
Yep. NC State was there last year. So McNeese State has the big win, but then talk about that kid, their DJ.
Yeah, their student manager has went viral. He has signed deals with Buffalo Wild Wings, ticket organizations. That's a huge win for them.
He's a nerdy little kid with glasses.
Yes. Day-Day, what's his name? Is Zamir Aurora. Yeah. So he comes out with his boombox. Now Buffalo Wild Wings has sponsored his boombox.
But I mean,
They come out. They come out to. He's coming out to Kodak Black. NBA young boy. Kodak Black's the one that made the last week's one went viral. Kind of started it. Comes out to that. Got this vibe about him. They win. Guy named Ben Hook tweets it yesterday, and I'm just playing around, and I just reposted it, and funny. I put game was over at this moment.
Well, Rusty had game was over.
It's got another 70,000 views in the last 13 minutes. That thing has almost 970,000 views.
Well, he's now going to be – that kid will be a star for 2 days. Rusty had the line, though. It's funny. It was over as soon as this kid came out.
As soon as he came
it's
out
him
the
with
door,
a boombox, and those kids at McNeese are behind him. Hey, real quick, that's Tennessee awesome. Beats Wofford. They advance. Obviously, Auburn, they didn't cover that 28.5, but they did handle Alabama State. That's a big win for the SEC as well. Texas A&M, the favorite upset special was Yale.
Yep.
Texas A&M wins and covers. Everybody loved UC San Diego, a 30-5 team. They lose.
I picked them, yep.
They lose last night, 68-65 to Michigan. We told you about Missouri out of the SEC. They are out courtesy of Drake. And John Calipari, maybe the biggest win of the day over Kansas, setting up him and Rick Pitino, Arkansas, St. John's on Saturday.
I want to talk to Pat Bradley about that, so I'll save my questions. But he looked like he was having fun, man. He looked like he was having fun.
Yeah, and, Arkansas.
They're playing their best basketball at the end of the year.
Do you know how many tournament games Arkansas has won last few years? They had Eric Musselman there. They went on a run.
Yeah.
Now they're going on another run. Like, everybody in the SEC goes on a run. Do you see the stats? Since 2002, Gonzaga had won.
Oh, my gosh.
Had won 39 NCAA games. And Georgia had won 0.
Oof.
And I'm like, who's the idiot that would take Georgia plus 7? And then I jumped to the front of the class and raised my hand. Like, now they've won 40, Gonzaga, and Georgia hasn't won a tournament game in, I don't know, 3 decades?
2002.
Hey, real quick, Braves beat the Phillies 7-0. Jurickson Profar, 2-for-4. Marcelo Zuna had a 2-run homer. Talk some Braves when we come back. And
can I give a teaser?
Yeah, I'd love to see
one of the biggest days in TV history of all time happened March 21st, 1980. And you will know exactly where you were when this happened.
We'll do that when we come back. It's Rusty and Steak on the Steakhouse. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the fastest 2 hours in radio. Rusty Rocks, just part of what will happen today as we get you going for day two of March Madness.
March the 21st, 1980, the J.R. Ewing of the TV show Dallas was shot.
Yeah, and the Who Shot J.R. episode, which might be...
I think it's number 3. So here's what I think MASH.
MASH's final episode.
Final episode
most,
of MASH.
Most watched episode in the history of television.
Number 2 was J.R. Ewing, November 21st, 1980, when you found out who shot J.R.
Yes.
83 million people tuned in. Let me give you some perspective on that. 22 million people watched Georgia play Alabama in 2021.
For a national title?
Yeah, pretty big game on a Monday night here.
Right.
83 million people worldwide.
There were 3 networks at the time. Dallas was the most popular show. It introduced serial television, which is ongoing storylines week to week.
It was soap operas.
Charlene Tilton.
Southport, baby. Southport Ranch.
J.R. Ewing, obviously.
Bobby Ewing. Uncle Cliff.
Linda Gray.
I like Pam, too.
I mean, so that's our
Pam
era.
Pam was Bobby's wife, right?
And then there was the ABC knockoff Dynasty with Joan Collins and company, which was basically
Dynasty.
Yeah, Dynasty on ABC, which took advantage of Dallas.
You had to make a big business decision on Friday night if you were going to the skating rink, because if you went to the skating rink, Steak, you missed Incredible Hulk, then Dukes of Hazzard, then Dallas. You never made it to Falcon Crest.
That's so funny, because for me, it was $6 Million Man growing up.
Yeah.
Or it was Happy Days in Laverne and Shirley. Kids don't understand, like, there were 3 networks.
There wasn't no replay.
Walk up, and there's no remote control. You walk up.
Well, you had kids, so you could turn the TV.
Right.
Get your butt up and turn that over there.
Yeah, switch the channel.
We
right?
had 2, 5, 11, and here we had TBS. You had Superstation.
So who shot you? Linda Gray, right?
It was, yeah, I believe
it
so.
It was Suella,
yeah.
right? Suella, was that his wife? Yeah, I think it was Suella ended up. Remember there Suellen. Was the one episode Suellen. Where she was, Suellen, yeah. yeah. And then there was the episode with Bobby. There was the whole Bobby, what, did he die
right.
or something? And Pam had the dream that he wasn't
Look
dead.
Look at you, Day-Day. Hey, that's yeah. some depth on the Dallas stuff
we,
for
we,
sure.
We talked about it pregame. I said, don't give steak any. I said, I want to get steaks
like that.
Real reaction.
Are you a, Bo, you're a Game of Thrones guy, right?
Sure, I love Game of Thrones.
So there's only a few. You're a Game of Thrones
guy,
too?
I was the only thing I really got. I loved it.
So there's two episodes where you know the title. One is the Red Wedding, right? And then the Battle of the, what's
I
that?
I don't know if we can say it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Battle of the guys.
Oh, the, yeah. Yeah. I think you use that word.
There's gray area there.
So Battle of the And then, right?
Yeah. yeah.
And then the Red Wedding. I mean, there's only a few episodes in the history of television where you know it by the name of the episode. And the Who Shot JR episode is mm-hmm. one of those. And Thrones is another. And I'm trying to think. Now, then there's the famous Happy Days episode where the term who jumped, when a show jumped the shark. You know what that's based on? You know what that's based on when they say the show jumped the shark? It's at the end of Happy Days. When, you know, Fonzie was in his 30s, right?
Yeah,
and the show wasn't as relevant. They were out in California. He leaps over. He's on a water. He's water skiing.
Yeah.
And there's a shark pool underneath him, and he's in the ocean. And they send him on a ramp, and he goes over the sharks. And you're like, and he's in his leather jacket. And they're like, whoever's writing Happy Days now has just lost it. There's nothing left to do. Hence the term, you jump the shark, which is Fonzie jumping over the sharks in California in his leather jacket, which means the show has lost its ability to come up with anything else. So, but television, listen, it was just a different era.
83 million, dude. If you get 8 million now, it's incredible.
So I can tell you this, because you're blowing up on social media with your post last night yeah. about the McNeese
team. It just went
team.
Over a million, which is crazy.
The White Lotus is the equivalent of it. It's never be as big, but what's going on this week, if you're a fan of the White Lotus, and if you know the scene with Sam Rockwell explaining to another character in the show in Thailand his sexual proclivities, like, the White Lotus has become one of those conversations. Sopranos was one of those conversations, right, that was in the collective consciousness. Game of Thrones. Now, The Wire is respected at that level, but it was never the buzz in terms of mainstream. So, anyway, that was how many years ago, you said?
That was 1980.
Okay. A couple of quick things I want to talk about, and then obviously we're going to get to Kirby and some things that are tailgate coming up in a little bit. Braves, I say this every year. You're tired of hearing it, but it does feel like they've been down there for like 2 months. Like this last 5, 6 days, trying to get to opening day in San Diego – this has just been endless.
Can you imagine those dudes like having to live in like a condo? Like just down there miserable.
It's, right.
I mean, I know they're playing baseball. It's like, let's get out of here.
No, it's over. I mean, at first it's a novelty when you get there. You see the guys, you're stretching yourself out. Right. Yeah. So now you are like, let's go play baseball. Let's see what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what this roster is gonna look like once we head north, or in this case head west. Let's see what Drake Baldwin, who everybody excited to see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Jurickson Profar. Otherwise, we know these guys. Like the difference, when talking about TV in the 70s and 80s, when you're a baseball fan in the 80s, this is the
Cubs and Braves.
Well, my point is, there's no movement, right? Like, I grew up, George Scott's my first baseman, Jerry Remy, Rick Burleson, Butch Hobson, Jim Rice, Fred Lynn, Dwight Evans, Carlton Fisk. Same 8, 9 guys. Yep. I'm used to them,
yep.
right?
Until somebody retires
and
replace him.
Yeah, Carl Yastrzemski. There's no free agent movement of any significance or roster turnover. The Braves are like that. We know our roster, just like when you're rooting for somebody in the 80s or, you know, or 70s. We know Austin Riley. We know Ozzie Albies. We know, now again, Matt Olson has only been a few years, but like, we know that these are our guys. We have numbers we expect. Last year, they didn't put up those numbers.
Yep.
But if they're even, Day-Day said, if they're at 80%.
Got to be healthy, man.
If they're at 80% of what they were 2 years ago.
Yep.
And the only thing that matters, and if you don't think Brian Snicker understands this, he's literally managing. I just want you to think about this. He's managing from, so April 1st, all of April, May, June, July, August, and September. He's managing for 6 months to try to get to a playoff series where Chris Sale starts game one.
A five-game series.
Yeah, a five-game series, or even a wild card, because I've heard other baseball guys say, even if they're in the wild card, all that matters, a healthy Chris Sale in game one, a healthy Spencer Strider in game two. If you start with that in the postseason with those two guys, I don't care if the Dodgers, you know, roll out Babe Ruth and the ghost of Babe Ruth and everybody else. You are managing to get to those two guys because those two guys are better than everybody else.
As we talk about the NCAA tournament, it's guard play. When you get to the playoffs in Major League Baseball, it's pitching. Pitching can shut you down.
Especially
if you have an alpha like Spencer Strider in a seven-game series, you're going to see him three times.
It's not about crafty. It's about overpowering guys.
Jimmy's and Joe's.
That go 6 2/3 with 12 strikeouts and one walk and are striking guys out and shutting them down.
If we are healthy and our guys do what they're potentially and what we have seen at times, we could go into a seven-game series against the Dodgers, who have spent $300 billion on this team,
yep,
and we can throw Chris Sale and Spencer Strider at them twice apiece. See what happens.
And we thought last summer, Bo, that we were managing to get Chris Sale and to be healthy. We'd skip guys' starts to sometimes give him 8 or 9 days. We did everything we thought, and then Chris Sale's back, and we don't even get him in the mix, and we spent all summer trying to make sure that could happen, right?
Spent all summer spacing him out and making sure he's healthy, and he still wins the Cy Young, which is what the
right.
Yeah.
Wins the triple crown.
Yeah. For Vaughn.
Wins the triple
for
crown.
Vaughn Grissom.
Right. For Vaughn Grissom, who's back in the minors. And the Red Sox paying his numbers.
Appreciate y'all, man.
But 6 months. Now, again, it's going to be an amazing summer. The beauty, as I was saying, of being a fan in the 70s and 80s was there wasn't – like – these guys are like a glove that fit for Atlanta.
Dude.
You walk in the ballpark,
dude.
You're looking at Austin Riley, a gold glove third baseman, that your 10-year-old stands up when Austin Riley's up
because
he's got that swing that can just jack one, right?
Yep.
You know that Ozzie Albies, one of the most entertaining entities.
High energy.
Ronald Acuna, as loved as any Braves in history.
He's a superstar of Atlanta.
Right.
He's a superstar of this city.
So, like, we just need to play baseball. And think about, Rusty, that you get the team that beat you last year in the postseason, and then you get the Dodgers.
Yep.
So we get 7 straight days.
Yep.
Right out of the gate, you get 7 straight days of this.
Not to be sentimental and show my soft side, but you also get a summer of knowing that anytime you want to take your family to Truist Park, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Period. And now they're adding all those restaurants. They added all those new things in the park.
Just think about Rome, Gwinnett, and the mothership at Truist.
Mm.
The combination of baseball fans. You mix that with East Cobb. You mix that with SEC baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about if you have a kid that loves baseball, how many opportunities. You think about Lake Point.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there's not a friend I have in the Northeast that doesn't know about Lake Point or coming bringing their team through here.
Emerson. Yeah. Hey, man, where's Emerson, Georgia? Oh, what field are y'all on?
Right.
That's all you need to know.
Well, you talk about going and watch a game in Rome.
Right? Rome Emperors now. I've seen them all play. I've seen Acuna play there. I saw Austin Riley spent a whole summer there.
Acuna played at Rome for what, a rehab assignment?
No, he played there early on.
Did he?
Cam Caminiti, the left-handed pitcher, their best pitching prospect, 18 years old. He'll be there this summer, so I'll get to see him. By the way, we're getting lit up on socials, so I'm going to give Day-Day his. It was actually Sue Ellen's sister, Kristen, who shot him. So
thank you,
guys,
for the clarification.
Thank y'all for listening.
Sue,
I mean, I'm not going to get get put in jail because I missed that one.
Well, we got to be
accurate.
It's
been a minute. 45 years.
9:34 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we come back, we got more SEC conversation. Kirby, I'm curious what you thought about. You're probably closer to it than most folks. The decision on the G-Day game and telling ESPN thank you, but no thank you. Also, let's just say that there's a message being sent before football gets going of what Kirby did in the last 24 hours.
I hadn't seen him do this one yet. But they did.
And I'm trying to understand why kids get put in jail for speeding violations. I'm still trying to unpack that one. I'll set it. You don't have to. But, again, talk some Georgia football when we come back. It's 935 Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Night 40, fastest 2 hours in radio, Steak Shapiro and Rusty Manziel. Thank you so much for spending time with us. It was a horrendous day for Georgia. Absolutely horrendous. They get blown out of the gym by Gonzaga, not in the game, not competing. And Mike White, you know, certainly has to look at how you got. I know it's a bunch of younger players. I mean, I get it. And I get that was an experience-laden team. There's a reason why everybody in Vegas that knew college basketball was all over taking Gonzaga. But one of the Gonzaga guards said it, and I was reading from the AJC this morning, you could tell those guys that tournament pedigree wasn't there because they were so nervous, and you saw that. You said about the first possession.
They weren't even close on shots.
They referenced the very first possession, and Georgia just had one turnover after another. And, you know, the big boys are still going to be left when the dust settles after this weekend, and the bottom end of the SEC is getting it handed to them a little bit as well.
They got to get a shooter. I mean, Silas Demery got hot at the end of the year, but he's not a pure shooter.
And Blue King can't really get his shot off.
He has to have a clean shot.
And it's also a little bit – I mean –
he's an effort kid. He's got a long release. He's an effort kid, 6'5", great rebounder. He's a second-choice guy.
I totally agree.
Yesterday when Gonzaga needed points, they put it in Battle's hands, and he said, everybody get out of the way.
Let me tell you something.
Get out of the way, and let me get another bucket.
Let me tell you something about Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn.
Guards.
And Florida. No, they don't have kids like Blue Kane playing big minutes.
Yeah.
Like those four programs don't have Blue Kane as their starters that are just grinders. They have some of the best athletes, you know, Georgia's just not there yet.
They can be a flash in the pan. Like, you have to win the offseason again. It's not just recruiting high school. For example, if you follow on three, our guy is Joe Tipton. He's the guy that breaks all the news. Portal. He just broke 5 minutes ago. Jordan Marsh just went in from UNC Asheville. Everybody's on this kid. He averaged 20.8. He's a guard. He's originally from North Carolina. You got to imagine.
Huge portal kid.
Arkansas, North Carolina, everybody's going to be in on him.
Right.
You got to – I heard a rumor yesterday, and this is just rumors. The kid, the freshman in Oklahoma that lit Georgia up, rumor is he's going to Arkansas.
For John Calipari.
I mean, I don't know that to be – I just saw that yesterday.
How about the kid yesterday that had been to four programs in 4 years?
Battle. Yeah, Butler, Temple. Right. Yeah. Gonzaga.
Right.
It is what it is, man. It is what it is. But Georgia's got to keep, to me, Silas Demery, Blue Kane, Sumpto, the big post player that's really raw, athletic, got to get more out of him. Asa Newell is gone. So you've got to get a big man. You got to get another big man to go with Dominique Wilkinson. Is it Gerald? What's Jared Wilkins?
Is it Jake?
Out of Grayson?
I believe it's Jacob.
Jacob Wilkins, correct. He's coming in. But Asa Newell was really underused, and I think yesterday in the second half, he just said, you know what?
Why don't you run the offense?
I don't know why they
threw Asa Newell. You have a guy with the softest hands.
Early.
Gonzaga ran an offense like a well-oiled machine where kids had been drilled for years how to play an offense. It's like why in these great programs, the great high school programs – I don't care if it's lacrosse or basketball or football. They're playing the high school football's coaching scheme starting in second grade, right? Whatever it is, Rusty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So everybody's ramping up. Gonzaga looks like those kids have been running that offense for their whole life. Georgia has Silas Demery pounding the basketball. Nobody's getting the ball to Asa Newell. It was all off the dribble. What offense are you running? What is Mike White running there? I'm sorry. I saw that 27-3 six different times this year to start a second half where they are flailing away at Tennessee. Or is that the game you were at?
Yeah, it's 26-25 at a half, and they go on a 22-0 run, I think.
Right. Did that run look any different than the Gonzaga run?
No.
Looked exactly the same. Listen. So that was embarrassing. I'm sorry. Listen, you know, there's 68 schools there. You shouldn't have the worst performance of 68. You had the worst. That game was over in 4 minutes. You should not have the worst performance. You knew Gonzaga had that kind of firepower. And I don't care that they went 1-15 in the West Coast Championship game the week before. That was the aberration. The aberration wasn't yesterday. When you're shooting wide open shots, you're going
to
make them.
It'd be interesting to see them with Houston, because Houston is so good defensively. They make their hay defensively. I saw some people that Houston is the least picked number one seed in brackets. And I saw Clark Kellogg talking about, I think he said they struggle with teams that can really shoot. So if Gonzaga stays hot.
Yeah, no, that's a great game.
I'm telling you.
That is a great game.
Those guards.
Just like the Arkansas-St. John's game.
It's going
to
be a great game.
Has a chance to be a great game as well. All right, let's talk about what's happening in Athens. All right, let's talk about what was different yesterday.
Well, not a great day. Not great news at all. Off-season dominated basically last year. Just bad situations, bad, I would say, like, news items. Again, over and over with speeding tickets, violations, driving citations, everything with Georgia players. Been really quiet up until yesterday. Wide receiver Nitro Tuggle arrested for speeding and, I believe, reckless driving. I have not
seen. That was on Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning at 2 a.m. I have not seen a police report, so I do not know how fast he was going. He was in jail, I think, 47 minutes with a $26 bond and got out. Monday night, redshirt freshman offensive tackle Marcus Easley had a wreck. I have not seen the police report on that, but I have seen pictures of where that vehicle ended up, and it was in the basically living room almost of an apartment. I do not know if he has been arrested. As the show started this morning, nothing is out there. He has been arrested. But yesterday, University of Georgia issued a statement saying both players were suspended indefinitely. Have not seen them do that. So to me, that is a message of that you have no second chances right now around here. I do know this. I don't know numbers. So I'm just telling you right now. With these new NIL deals, and I asked another school the same question yesterday. I said, do you have in contracts you're able to be fined for stuff like this? And both schools gave me absolutely. And I said, could you lose NIL payments over something like this? And they said, absolutely. So I would be willing to bet that both of the young men, I don't know if they're going to be at Georgia in the future. I don't know that. I guarantee you. They took a heavy, heavy financial hit yesterday with either one of those traffic violations and a wreck.
I'm trying to understand, not to say that given the history of what's happened in Athens, that you're not going to be absolutely sensitive to speeding. However, it's a 19-20-year-old kid getting stopped for speeding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why are you going to jail?
I don't understand that.
Yeah. It's a $26 bond, and it just almost accentuates, you know, like things are wild at Georgia. And the kid got a speeding ticket. Okay, I mean it's not the right program to get a speeding ticket, but taking kids to jail in Athens on the football team for that.
So
I would imagine maybe however he reacted, maybe Kirby had told everybody, you have zero tolerance,
I'm sure,
right? Because that's a harsh.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here defending that part because I know what happened and two people lost their life. And I understand the whole deal with that. I had Jake Rowe, my lead writer for Dogs HQ, reach out to an attorney yesterday. And we asked, why do you get arrested for this? And I didn't get it. We didn't get a straight in because he hadn't seen the police report. But he did tell us that 90% of the time, reckless driving is dropped. It is so hard to prove unless there was an accident.
Right.
Like, you know, if the kid's going 77 in a 50, I don't those get dropped. So I don't know all the situation with that. I was just curious on why you get arrested because, I've had speeding tickets before too. And I've had one where when I was about 25 years old, I was going a lot faster than I should have. And you know what they did? They gave me a ticket and a heavy fine, and I went home. So I don't really know why you get arrested.
Do you get arrested on a super speeder ticket if you're north of 100 miles an hour, just an average civilian, if you get pulled over? I'm not even sure about that. Listen,
you get a heavy fine.
Every single program in the SEC with 100 kids in their program has kids getting stopped for speeding. Georgia's no different and probably no worse than anybody else. Mm. However, The horrific tragedy of years past magnifies the situation in Athens. But be careful getting under your soapbox about Kirby or anybody else there, because the reality is it's just a kid who got a speeding ticket that we found out they put him in jail. So Kirby, obviously, if there's anything that they're going to be sensitive to in that program, it's going to be that.
That is it. And they issued a statement yesterday. Again, I do not know if both of those kids are back on the team. I just know they're suspended indefinitely. They're having the huge coaching clinic in town right now. High school coaches asked a guy last night, hey, did you see one of those kids around yesterday? He said, no, didn't see either one of them. So don't really know the long term. I do know that that was something I haven't seen out of Georgia. Issue a statement immediately. Both of those players have been suspended.
What's going on with – we talked about it on the show, so I don't mean to be repetitive, except we haven't been able to do it with Rusty. The absolute reimagining of the spring game, to the point where Georgia isn't really reimagined it, but they did say, we're not going to commit to being on ESPN.
So I talked to an SEC school yesterday on a couple topics. I always try to get outside Georgia when I can. This one school – told me this, and I didn't really think about this, and certainly I know Kirby, I know how his mind works. He goes, Rusty, number one, when you're on TV, you're under their time. It slows the pace of practice. You can't control what's going on. You can't set the situation because you go to TV timeout. I'm doing interviews during the game. I thought, I didn't think about that. Then number two, it was pretty obvious. You don't want to put a kid out there that's still battling for number two. And if he doesn't start on TV, the kid.
So that is legitimate.
That was
even for Kirby Smart at Georgia to give everybody.
I don't know that it is at Georgia, but this particular school.
My notion at Georgia has been, I don't think he wants to be held to a certain format.
I agree with that.
A television 100%, format. 100%. He may want to stop practice for 10 minutes. Yeah. He may want to say we're done for the day.
Yeah.
He may want to have a moment where he said.
He may want to use some language.
Yeah, he just may decide that the upside is not big enough for me to be subservient in any way to anybody.
I do know this. I don't know about the future of G-Day. I don't know all that. I know two things. I'm very confident in Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart understands that's a lot of fans' only time they ever get to sit in that stadium and see Georgia play.
That's a great point.
And he also understands the value of spring practice. So as long as Kirby Smart is making the decision – at University of Georgia, they're going to have spring practice.
He talks about rewarding those kids by coming out in the tunnel and experiencing that. For some kids, he said, that's the only time they'll experience
correct.
It. So that's the tailgate. I want to ask you about something else we talked about yesterday. I want to double down on. Sandra was here. The Kirk Cousins conversation, great interview this morning with Albert Breer. Was Albert Breer that was on with the morning show? And he talked about the fact that he thinks the Falcons will – get some money relief, but definitely a draft pick relief at some point for Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
So Kirk Cousins deciding he needs to be in that show again, right?
Yeah.
When so many quarterbacks have been turning that down, it more and more feels to me like a bad look. Like Kirk Cousins decides, I'm going to – you did the show. You got the success out of it. And now you're doubling down. Now you're on for a second season. In the middle of us having to deal with a disastrous Falcon season, you have any thought on them going back to him on that?
When I sit here in this chair last year, you and I could not have been more giddy about having a quarterback. And we are very common in one thing. We want meaningful games in Mercedes-Benz in January. What I have learned, in my opinion, and I get paid to give my opinion, Steak.
Yep.
My opinion, Kirk Cousins has a lot more me guy to him than I ever would have thought. I thought this guy, at his point in his career, went through an injury, was battling. He has shown me a side of him, and I'll tell you what, the show behind us only refers to him as 18, and I might be that close. They won't say his name anymore. They say 18.
There's a level of self-aggrandizing. You know, every other quarterback kind of said it's a distraction. I don't need it.
Yeah.
I got too much to focus on.
Yep.
You got the juice for it. You and your agent got the juice. Made you look great. Made you look like a family man.
Yep.
It showed a different side of you. Showed you your preparation. All that stuff. When they came back to you and you're coming back to Atlanta, you should have said no quicker than any quarterback in the NFL. You should have been the quickest no. Because I'll tell you this. Well, now what I'm hearing is how many quarterbacks turn it down. They don't want it.
It's like they couldn't get anybody doing Hard Knocks this year.
Right. It's not going to happen.
No.
So why does Kirk Cousins decide that I need to be back and be a part of that show again? It's a bad look. You had your moment. It should have been about nothing but football and not about me and not cameras following you around. So it'll be fascinating. We'll all watch it. No question about that. But it's time to move on from Kirk Cousins. You got to move on the smart way. You got to move on with leverage. Every business deal is about who has leverage and who doesn't. Falcons had no leverage a few months ago with an aging, depleted quarterback. The leverage is going to be the desperation
somebody
of NFL
will get,
teams.
Somebody will get just like the Atlanta Falcons got desperate to go get him. I don't know that somebody's going to have to pay all that, but somebody is going to cut the best deal they can possibly do to get this guy.
The Falcons need to realize that there are teams that are going to covet a guy that they know they can put in at quarterback, either as their safety or as their stopgap starter. I just hope that Kirk pursues his acting and entertainment career, because that seems to mean more to him than playing quarterback as he's back for another run. We'll talk about the SEC. Here's the question. Why does John Calipari and Rick Pitino hate each other so much? We'll dive into that. Pat Mitchell from the SEC Network as well. If you're an SEC fan driving around Atlanta, give us 5 minutes. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Oh, it's a beautiful Friday morning in the great city of Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Steak. He's Rusty Manziel. Thank you so much for being on the biggest, baddest sports talk radio station in the Southeast. Get the Odyssey app. We got all the games in Westwood One. Anytime that you're driving around all weekend long, get on the Odyssey app. We'll have the games on for you there as well. And we'll tell you about the shows coming up. Dukes and Bell.
Where are they at? Like, they were in Chattanooga, then they're in Vegas. They're in Jamaica. Are they in Jamaica today?
No, they're Twin Peaks and Buckhead. If I didn't get sick, I was going to try to work with Mike Bell this afternoon if Conte was going to let me. But, when you're not feeling well, you don't want to spend an afternoon with Mike Bell. That's going to guarantee that
you're going to half-ass it with Mike Bell. On a Friday, March Madness?
No.
Zero chance.
Joining us right now from SEC Network, does a fabulous job. Remember him in his playing days as well, and got a few things to talk about these days for sure. Pat Bradley joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being with us. Good morning, sir. What's happening?
Hey. Oh, not much. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're, good. I don't know, no major surprise at the top. I call them, the big four or big five, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, maybe Kentucky. They're all going to be thriving and surviving, it looks like. And then us poor folks at Georgia, Missouri, Texas, you surprised by any of the early losses?
Yeah, I got to say, the way Georgia came out, they seem to be clicking, right, just to end the season. And, couldn't make a shot, couldn't take care of the basketball. And, so you kind of feel for them. That game to me looked like Gonzaga's just a team that's been in that situation before. And we talk about how Georgia, the progression from each year, Coach White's been there. Still a young team, but probably Missouri. Watching Drake, you see those types of teams in the tournament, right? They slow it down, take the air out of the basketball. They don't turn it over, make some shots. Older veteran team. And, if they hang around, you're in trouble. And Drake's got a player. That's the other thing when you see these tournaments. If they get that one, that kid starts with Drake, man, he can go. So, it's a prime team that can upset somebody. So, yeah, it was tough to see. I felt like Missouri was obviously one of our better teams in the league throughout the season. And
I would argue that the winless to the first round of the NCAA tournament is one of those most spectacular turnarounds. It's not like you turn it around in the Sun Belt. You're in the toughest conference in America. I know they didn't win yesterday. They were winless, right? They were winless a year before at Missouri.
Last year.
That's impossible. They're out.
Well, that staff did a good job. The one thing that staff did was they kept a couple of key guys, Tamar Bates, Anthony Robinson, and they brought some high-level transfers in. Like, Mark Mitchell played at Duke a couple of years, okay? Kid Tony Perkins, key player at Iowa. They got the kid Caleb Grill healthy again. So that staff did a good job, despite that, you know, conference record last year, still bringing in high-level guys and keeping some key guys. So that was a big part of it.
Pat Bradley with us, also reminding me what it's like hanging out with my buddies when I go to a Bruins game, when I go back home with Murphy and Sully and Kaka and Billy, Everett Mass's own. One of the great Boston accents, which we love to hear here down in the South. But, Pat, that will lead me into Calipari and Patino, right? This is phenomenal rivalry.
I've read
10 articles this morning about the disdain. A little background is that, you know, Patino is a point guard at UMass. Calipari gets the job there. Patino helps him get it. I think he feels like he wasn't grateful enough for it. And when he took the job at St. John's, he literally referenced, I need to get John Calipari's name out of my resume. There's only two coaches in history that have taken three teams to the Final Four. It's Calipari and Patino. And Patino, if he gets St. John's there, that'll be four different teams in the Final Four.
Ooh, yeah. Coach P is one of a kind. And, you know, it was 29 years ago in 96. They were both in the Final Four, UMass. Coach Cal and Coach Patino won the national championship in 96, going way back in the day.
Yeah, so no, this is a disdain for each other that has grown over the years. Now, Patino said, I'm no different with John than I am with Roy Williams or Mike Krzyzewski, which is like, I don't build relationships with guys I want to, you know, basically beat the hell out of. But right. Theirs runs a little deeper. I thought the win for Arkansas and Calipari just validates everything. And, Rusty, you talk about him getting in the portal after. They're going to be a force there, too.
Let me tell you something. They're not playing around. And, and you can add and you can change a school instantly. You look at Missouri. It's a great example. They didn't win a freaking conference game.
Yeah, and they go to the portal.
Portal.
And Calipari to it. Was that one of the better wins, certainly for the SEC to beat Kansas?
Yeah, I think it was. It has to be up there with for the SEC. The most profile one, you're going to get the Hall of Famer, Coach Bill Self. Kansas, you know, let's not forget, Kansas was in a conversation. I think they might have been the preseason number one, and Hunter Dickinson was in conversation for the preseason National Player of the Year. And, you know, they sort of had an up-and-down season similar to the Hogs. But the Hogs, this is one thing. You know, they've had some injuries. They've had some transfers of their own that taken a little while for them to get comfortable and find their rhythm. But they've got 7'2", 6'11", 6'10". They've got their backcourt is 6'4", 6'5". You know, the Hogs are big. They're athletic. They get out and run. They're not the best shooting team, but you know, you wouldn't be surprised if they get out and make 8-9 threes per game. I mean, their strength is attacking the basket. So, you know, once they put it all together, you know, they got talent. It was just, it seemed like they were never playing their best as a team together. And they found something here recently where they're doing it now.
Pat, obviously tied in with that program at Arkansas and hiring a coach like Calipari. And then you got a mega booster that is 100% in and behind this team and Tyson Foods. How aggressive are they going to be in the portal? Can you keep DJ Wagner and those guys? What's the deal there? But what do you expect out of this team? Because, you know, he's had to transition from one and dones to understanding what the portal does to you and how quickly you can maintain through the portal with experienced players. How aggressive do you think Arkansas, because I saw a story yesterday that said Louisville has $10 million ready to go, and they would be the largest spender of anybody in the offseason. They're not playing around. They want 10 new players, and they got $10 million. What do you think Arkansas is going to do?
Well, I would say to anybody, it's not the money. It's how you spend it.
Correct.
And we've seen multiple teams bring in guys that just
– Kansas last night.
Didn't fit well together.
Yeah, Kansas is terrible this year.
Last night.
Yeah, Kansas.
Yeah. You'd think that's a, you know, you hate to say, you know, Coach Self has been around, done that a couple of times. He's so successful, but I think there's a lot of coaches who are maybe I don't want to say learning, but sort of definitely, you know, sort of reevaluating how they put a team together. So I think with Coach Cal, yeah, they're going to have plenty of money. And, you know, he's got his five-year contract. So not only is Tyson Chicken committed, but there's quite a few other businesses and other folks that are committed to making sure that
Coach
that,
Cal,
you know, Coach Cal has that, those
what he
resources.
Wants. Hey, let's talk about the SEC. Mississippi State first game on the board against Baylor. That's a dogfight, pick'em game. Bama goes off right after that one. Obviously, we still got to get Alabama. They're in the mix today as well. Oklahoma's going today as an 8-9 against Connecticut. The SEC in the thick of it today. Give me, you know, 30 seconds, a minute or so, on just how the SEC is going to fare today, what you see playing out.
Well, my two big games, North Carolina, Ole Miss, and a lot of it has to do with this. Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with the story of North Carolina. You know, nobody thought they should be in. They get in. They hang like, you know, they scored 200 points the other night. And now I'm looking.
Yeah, how about their favorite? They're favored against an Ole Miss team that was ranked all year and has got huge wins. And now I've heard some gambling folks say, you go ahead, Carolina, that's the public. The real people know that Ole Miss, that's a game they win.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I saw it. So I like Ole Miss. I think that's going to be sort of a statement win for Ole Miss. Like, hey, we're a Sweet 16 team, maybe even further.
Right.
And then Oklahoma, UConn, how can you not look at that game and say, you got the two-time defending champs. You got Coach Danny Hurley, who's been about the most talked-about coach, probably outside of Coach Cal in the whole country. And you've got Oklahoma Sooners team with Coach Porter Moser that won three of their last four. They had to have it. They got a fantastic first-round freshman in Jeremiah Fears. So that, to me, is going to be a fun game to watch with all those storylines.
That's a tough draw for, Oklahoma. But Big East has looked pretty good already in the tournament. Florida going today as well. Bama going today. I mean, again, I go back to the Big Four in Kentucky. I think they're all going to be tough outs, the SEC, for the rest of the guys in the tournament.
I got four SEC teams in my final four, Florida, Bama, Auburn, and Tennessee.
All right, you know who writes your who signs your paycheck, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Well, think about it though. Tennessee's a 2 seed. They can play Houston 2-1, right? They can pull through on that one.
In the words of Nick Saban, if you don't pay the right guys, you're S out of luck.
Yeah,
what you were talking about there.
That's exactly what you got to do.
Yeah. All right, Pat. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Keep my guy Peter Burns straight. Tell him those shirts, those mediums are getting a little tight on him.
Yeah. Someone's going to have a heart-to-heart conversation.
I will. Doring won't, but yeah. I will.
Right. Thank you, fellas.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Pat Bradley, SEC Network. A lot of action going today for sure. Hey, when we come back, Rusty Rocks. Look at the rest of the slate for March Madness today.
Yep. It's on. It was great yesterday, even though Georgia got the be out of my life.
What is the Rusty Manziel tweet that's up over like a million? What's it at?
It's got 200,000 since 9:45. That's stupid.
We'll tell you what it is. Come
ridiculous.
Back. Sports Radio 92.9. March Madness Day number 2. Thanks so much for checking in with Steak and Rusty Manziel. Rusty Rocks coming up about 6 minutes or so. You know you love that on a Friday. Have that to look forward to. Georgia Bulldogs done. Almost like they were never there. They really weren't there. They were down 27-4, and that thing was over.
You know, it's kind of like when you used to go into Waffle House at like 2 a.m. and you were there for about 30 minutes. You had a good time and left.
Yeah.
The dine and dash kind of. That's what they did.
They just – I mean, the whole thing just – extremely disappointing. I would imagine Josh Brooks. I know Josh Brooks' mentality. You do too, Rusty. He said it about the baseball program a few years ago, that we have to compete for national championships in baseball. We have to compete for national titles softball.
Yeah. They got to win a tournament game first, and they got blown out. So let's.
Yeah. But my point is, like, there should be an expectation level of the top of the SEC. You shouldn't be looking up at Mississippi and Mississippi State. And
well, the expectation was to make the tournament, and they They did.
Yeah.
And it was a bat. Now it's, okay, we're not just happy to go to the dance. We
don't want to see any competitor just happy to go to the dance. And that's exactly what they were. Gonzaga guard said it. They looked shell-shocked.
They haven't won a – you saw that.
Okay, whatever. Asa Newell's there for 1 year. So, like, what happy to be there? I mean, you know, was McNeese State happy to be there?
You're not reading the room. I'm going to read the room for you.
Yeah.
They were happy to be there. Georgia fan base, if you told them in early January you're going to the tournament, they would say whatever happens, happens. Okay, been there, done that. Now it's different expectations.
But you
got to win the All-Star.
Like
I agree.
Lose 68-64. Give us some thrills. That was the worst rooting experience. I didn't have a second. I was thinking about my daughter. I called her. I said, what's the plan in Athens?
Yeah.
And she goes, this is funny. She's like, oh, yeah, we're excited. I go, don't fake it. Like, yeah. Is anybody in Athens really getting into it? She turns to a roommate and she goes, like,
are they playing today?
Oh, literally, she goes, hey, we got to watch the game. She goes, yeah, what day do they play? All right? This is an hour before first. We were on FaceTime.
I guarantee they know when the G-Day is.
So they went, no doubt. They went to Paloma. I was like, that must have been the saddest party. Or little, you know, my daughter said, hey, it's just cool that we're in the tournament, that we made it. And I was like, well, when you have that mindset.
I'm telling you.
When baby Sophie has that mindset and the team does.
It's different after now. Okay. Got to win the offseason.
All right. You like Carolina, that old Carolina Ole Miss game. Ole Miss is a top 20 team the entire year. They got a rugged SEC schedule. Carolina gets in by the hair of their chinny chin chin. You know that spread. Carolina is now the favorite over Ole Miss today in a great matchup.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the public sees the North Carolina blue. And there's a reason that number looks from a value perspective like the wrong team is favored. You almost sound like you like Carolina,
should be favored. I think Carolina has a chip on their shoulder. I think they got pissed off that they were the laughingstock of the country. The freaking governor of West Virginia is trying to sue you for being in the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, you get out of our tournament, North Carolina. I'm telling you. And they came out, and they played well, and they shot the ball, and they still got some guys. It's not a normal North Carolina team, but I'm telling you right now, they have no pressure on them. I would take Carolina.
I got no credibility.
I would take Carolina.
I'll be the first to tell you.
You got more than that guy on TV yesterday. Went 0 for 0
dude,
for ESPN.
What's that guy's name, Day-Day? ESPN Bet. I love the show ESPN Bet.
Yeah.
And that guy, Joe... who is the point guy?
Joe, who won't be employed Monday.
No, he'll be fine. But he had he was on today. I saw him.
Steak. He went over. He went entire. His entire picks were over.
Joe Fountainbaugh.
Okay, so I think he went winless.
He did.
And he was on the radio or TV talking about it
on the world's largest platform.
Right,
as their expert.
He is their right. He was shell
shocked. Don't sugarcoat it. He was not sugarcoat Georgia. Dude, I won't sugarcoat that.
He was shell shocked. So I'm just going to say that, you know, in the public, although Drake, listen, what did we say yesterday? I got to look overall at Brandon Lang's
picks.
Yeah,
I messed around and accidentally threw away where my paper that I wrote
you
on.
You tweeted it out yesterday. I looked at it. Yeah,
okay.
He tweeted it. Yeah.
Everybody was on Drake, and they turned out to be right. But everybody was on High Point. I just don't like the games where everybody seems – UC San Diego. Didn't everybody go?
Yeah, but you look at those 5-12 games and those 6-11 games, and you realize that minimum 50% of those games are either going to be really close or they're going to be upsets.
You know why I liked Michigan, though, by tip-off? Because everybody was talking about UC San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, the game was a 2-point game. I think Michigan
68-65. I had UC San Diego in my bracket.
Yeah, I think Michigan covered because it was late. A 1.5-point spread. But I don't know. Today will be interesting. I'm curious with SEC fans. There's a lot of places in town to go watch. Bama in action, Florida in action, Ole Miss in action, just to name a few, as the rest of the day plays out. So, you know, we're going to get busy here. Obviously, next week we got games here Friday and Sunday, right?
I heard you talk about that. And be honest with you, I think you're spot on. Like, there's really no energy about it. But hold on now. Let me finish before everybody freaks out. Let Auburn be in this building.
Right.
And let Auburn be in that building in this town because there's a ton of Auburn alum.
I'll tell you what you'd be surprised by is how many Michigan State fans will travel or live here.
Oh, yeah.
So Michigan and Michigan State alum in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because Michigan State's the 2 seed. So if you get Auburn and Michigan State on a Sunday afternoon, to go to the Final Four. You and I both talked about the Final Four game, the Final Eight game we went to,
yeah.
which was the UMass team.
Marcus Camby and those guys beating Georgetown. I ran into Marcus Camby and those guys at Baja Beats Club in Buckhead that night. Think about that. Now you would fly out afterwards.
Right.
They didn't fly out to the next day. How do you think those dudes felt? I'm sitting in, I'm showing my age, Baja Beats Club in Buckhead. And Marcus
Camby. I haven't heard that name, Baja Beats Club, in so long.
Listen, Marcus Camby and those dudes walk in. They just won going to Final Four. You not think there were some bad decisions made that night?
That was March 23rd, 1996.
I was a young.
You were at that game?
I was at Buckhead. We watched the game, I believe, from Buckhead Brewery. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
We watched the game there.
That was the Marcus Camby, Edgar Padilla, Carmelo Traviesa team.
Yes.
Against Allen Iverson.
Yes.
Othella Harrington.
Yes.
And Victor Page.
Beat them in the Georgia Dome.
Yes, they did.
Like 70,000 people there. Insane.
35-1 UMass versus Georgetown. I think they didn't play that game in the did they play the game in the Dome?
I think they played it in the Dome.
They played it in Atlanta
for
curtains. Sure.
They had the curtains up.
I will tell you.
I know they played in the Dome. Yeah, they played in the Dome.
All right. You ready to do Rusty Rocks?
Yep. The last couple of weeks, you know, I was in that mood, and I was in some country. I was in some classic rock. And you kind of touched on me like, how did you have all this musical
diversity of your musical taste?
So
right?
I kind of flipped my switch. And I've been into some old school rap, and I was like, you know what? It's March Madness. The weather's getting warmer. It's time for some top hip hop songs from the 80s. And before Bo gets into this one, number five, I'm gonna give you a little bit of memory on each one. And at number five, this song,
top hip hop songs
of the 80s. All my West Georgia friends, all my West Georgia alum that I know, Lil Bar. Rob Triple knows this bar. A little bar in Carrollton, Georgia called Spyro on Thursday night. They used to have a DJ. Great place. All my buddies knew when this song came on, it was time to look around the room. Number five. Mm-hmm. 1986. Beastie Boys. Brass Monkey.
Have you ever seen the...
Yes. Before you asked me, yes.
Beastie Boys documentary?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
How good is it?
Dude, it's awesome.
It's on Netflix, I think.
License to Ill, that album. Changed. Oh, it's a great documentary.
It tells the story of how they came together, how they changed the genre, the notion of those.
They had to fight through that. I mean, they're kind of like nerdy white kids.
Right.
And then you hear the beat, and you're like, wait a minute. You guys did that?
That
the
was.
The demo tape, they got into the right hands. I believe it was the same guy, Day-Day.
I don't remember who they got the demo to, but I know they ended up with Russell Simmons.
It was the big radio station in New York City. One of those DJs got it. And it's like, you got to hand this off. The demo tape got around. Great job, though, Brass Monkey, man. Song still hits. Number four, one of those ones you didn't tell your parents you were listening to, but everybody listened to this one. Boys in the Hood, Eazy-E, NWA. 1987. Really, really what started Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, this was their national, like they came out of Southern California, Crenshaw, national tour. That movie on them is incredible. It's incredible.
Oh,
the
so
decision
well
done. That Dr. Dre made to leave when he knew they were getting done wrong. Number three, one of my all-time favorite artists, and I don't know how many times he's made it, he's still my guy. Rock the Bells, LL Cool J. 1985. This drum beat still drums. I don't know how good that sounded in my 1983 Mazda RX-7, but it was enough for me.
Is there anybody cooler than LL Cool J?
LL still the dude, man.
1985. You said it from Def Jam Records.
Yep.
And Rick Rubin produced it.
Rick Rubin said LL Cool J, and I believe he said LL Cool J and Jam Master, LL Cool J and Jay-Z. Jay-Z, okay. The two most talented. He said those guys would write a song, and within one take, they would memorize the whole word. Incredible memories. Don't play this one yet. First rap song I ever heard in 1985. This song, like I'd heard some, but like this was the song that I went to my parents and said, take me to Turtles. I still remember this. 12 years old. Take me to Turtles. I want to buy this CD. I want to buy this cassette, this tape. Bought it and kind of changed me forever. Run DMC, Sucker MCs. 1985. I'm pretty sure I bought me a pair of Adidas after this. You had to have some Adidas if you like Run DMC. Man, they had some great ones. Run DMC.
That was the first rap song where you purchased the
first song. That was the first cassette tape I ever bought, and you had to buy the whole album. So it wasn't singles then. But this one, you can stop before you play this. And this is everybody that knows me, my daughters give me hell about this song. This is still always in my rotation. It's right in my wheelhouse, 16 years old. Coming home from baseball practice, my buddy had a 280Z Datsun T-Tops.
I know it well.
And Eric Dowdy, one of my high school best friends, played at Furman. Now he's a principal. God rested those students over there in Columbia, South Carolina. We played this every day as loud as we could, leaving practice, pulling out of the parking lot, and probably speeding, to be honest. You can hit this one. It Takes Two, Rob Bass. That's one of those songs, I don't care if you're 58, 59, your shoulder starts popping just a little bit.
No, it's not only that. It takes you back right away.
Oh, dude. So I was 16, era. I was prime. Oh, dude.
We're the same.
Shark tooth necklace, little cologne, little polo cologne.
I think of this in the wrestling room or the lacrosse. We're changing, dude. Getting ready to go out to practice.
He had that big gold chain. He had that sweatsuit on, Day-Day, and that big gold chain. And they're walking down the street, had his hat to the side.
That was cool.
Mm.
Great memories right there.
That's the top five Rusty hip-hop songs just pop into his head on a beautiful Friday in the great city of Atlanta. We'll come back, play three strikes, get you ready for the rest of the day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Rusty Manziel, thank you so much for being with us on a Friday morning. Lots more to go here. We'll play some three strikes coming up in a little bit. Hawks have a hell of a weekend. You wanted to be CNBC in Atlanta tomorrow night. Golden State, Steph and Jimmy Butler and Steve Kerr.
Hard is that ticket?
It's an expensive ticket.
Was it 92.9 game last year? 92.9
game. Last year we had the Warriors?
Yeah, I went, and it was insane how many Warriors fans. I was like, holy smokes, man.
A lot of those Steph jerseys.
Yep.
That was one of our trips. Me and Bobby had our little basketball retreat, and we went and saw Golden State that first night in Charlotte. They're iconic, man. You know, Steph Curry, iconic, and Draymond. You know, I hadn't watched. I had great seats that night. Watching Draymond Green still get after it, still do the things that nobody does anymore, set massive screens, run the floor, play defense, get after it. He played with an energy at his age that just blew me away.
I got to say this on the NBA, and I don't talk a lot about it, but I'm gonna take this second to, as much as he's taken from me and as much as he's taken social media-wise, Bronny James had 17 points last night.
Wow.
You know what?
Bronny had 17 last
17.
Night.
Damn. 17. You know what? And I sit here and said, you don't deserve to be there. You're there because your dad. You're taking somebody else's job. They had some injuries last night. Yeah. He winds up playing. He had 17
yeah,
points.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't see that yet.
You know what?
They get blown out, though, by the Bucks. Yeah. But
I mean, they had basically me, you, and Day-Day playing. Right.
It was the JCC All-Stars.
And we were hoping Day-Day was going to get us 30.
Yeah. They had a bunch
But I'll say this. Dude had 17 points. I think he was 4 for 7.
I never thought there'd be a day that Bronny James would score 17 points in the NBA at all. Anyway, Hawks are Saturday night. That's the crazy ticket. Sunday, a great kind of a outlet for family night. I think 6 o'clock start. Perfect on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Then State Farm Arena gets next Friday and Sunday. The opportunity to see really good college basketball. It's like a lot of people. We haven't focused on it yet, but I hope so. I want to be there Sunday to watch one of the big boys try to make it to the Final Four. I think it'll be an unbelievable atmosphere. Listen, we were both lucky, Data. You go earlier this year to that doubleheader.
Yeah, the Kentucky and Duke. First time seeing
Cooper Flagg live. Yeah. We got to see him early, and Kentucky beats Duke in that game. It's one of Duke's few losses. I love being in a building with live bands playing in timeouts. It's different from a football stadium because football stadium is so big.
Wide open.
And I'll never forget when Tech made their run, and, you know, we were the flagship of Georgia Tech at 790 The Zone. There was nothing better than hearing the Tech fight song in timeouts as we're, you know, going through the two regionals. And then we're at the Final Four in San Antonio that year. And Tech beats Oklahoma State and Eddie Sutton with Will Bynum's shot. And the band after, and the cheerleader after, and the alumni after, and the look of joy in those moments from the alumni, which is exactly what it's like when you make the Final Four.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the few sports where if you're a runner-up, that's fine. You know, if you make the Final Four, now that's not fine for, you know, right now probably not Auburn because they almost won a national title. Everything else. But I promise it was fine for
Listen,
other
Alabama
programs.
Alabama, who's never been. Tennessee.
Never been.
Tennessee. Alabama has now. Tennessee has not, right?
Yeah. Is that what it is? Tennessee has never. Yeah. With all those great teams they've had.
Yep.
From Ernie Grunfeld to Bernard King to all every iteration of it.
They are definitely trying.
Here's our three strikes question. College basketball player you absolutely fell in love with. A college basketball player you fell in love with. Could have been over the tournament, you know, Bo Kimble and, was it Hank Gathers?
Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble.
Passed away.
Lowell and Marymount.
Could be Kenny Anderson, Lethal Weapon 3. Could be just a guy that you fell in love with playing college hoops. Second one is the hip-hop song that brings back the best memories.
Mm.
The hip-hop song. I don't know about the best memories, but this was
put you in a good place. Oh, yeah.
This is one of mine right here.
Oh, man.
Fight
great
the Power.
Great movie. Yeah.
Spike Lee really emerges on the scene.
Then he does Morris Blackman because of this.
So.
Signs a deal with Nike.
You talk about a cool song, right?
Yep.
So, and finally, a local tavern that does it right. Just, you know, with all the shout out for all the big sports bars and everything else that we take care of yesterday. Just give me somebody, you know, that feels like that's the way it's supposed to be. You walk in, they know your name, they pour you a beer, you know.
Can you imagine Buckhead 1995 with the March Madness like right now? Like what would be happening? What would be happening today?
Well, $3 cafe would be bananas.
The
we
entire
so many
Buckhead. Would
so,
bananas.
Do you have a local spot in Rome, Georgia? That's kind of like a local watering hole, or
there's a place called Dark Side, which is on the other side of Harvest Moon. This is their little bar area. It's called Dark Side.
Yeah, a local tavern that does it right. Hip hop song that brings back the best memories, and a college basketball player that you fell in love with. How big a Public Enemy fan were you?
Loved it, Chuck D.
Yeah,
you know what I'll do at Dark Side. I will walk in, if it's like six of us couples, we will walk in and we will put some paper that folds in the bartender's hands and we will write down 20 songs and we say, you play these 20.
That's old school right there.
You play these 20 in a row. These two pieces of paper are yours. And you know what happens 100% of the time? Those 20 songs play.
How great a move if you're going to spend $100 or $50 somewhere anyway. To walk in and just hand that and say, we're going to be here a while, how much better is your service going to be?
Oh, 100%. Look, if you pay up front, you that's how you get the best anything.
You'll never
music,
wait
service,
for any.
Drinks, anything. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you hand a bartender right out of the gate, hey, we're going to be here, even start with a 20, because you're still going to pay for your drinks, possibly. But if you just start out and establish that relationship, right?
Yeah.
That's called establishing a baseline relationship. We're gonna connect here.
I've got a friend that he is very, very well off. Very well off. I went to a fundraiser with him one night, and it was an open bar, big fundraiser. He walked in and he handed the bartender
Bo. How much?
He walked in and handed the bartender $500 bills.
Oh my god!
And he goes, "Hey, this is what he said. Coolest move ever." He goes, "You see me, and you see this guy, and he goes, you see that line of people? We're not standing in that all night." And he goes, you know what? Y'all come right here, and your drinks will be. What are you drinking? It'll be ready when you want one. I never waited in line the entire night.
That is 100% how it works.
Yeah, he handed him $500 crisp ones. He peeled it off in front of him and said, "You see this guy, and you see me. We don't wait in line all night, and we never waited in line."
I don't get broke off like that. Yeah, but look, dude, man, we know faces of people that you know treat us well.
Take
and
care.
You will.
This guy is Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. This is who I compare him to. He's got more money he could ever spend. And when he walks in, he owns a place. And I love it that he's my buddy.
Right. Like we always say on our show, you don't need a lake house. You don't need to be super wealthy. You don't need to belong to all those fancy country clubs. You just need friends who are.
That's right. That's right.
You just need friends.
That's my guy.
You don't want to own that boat.
He's my guy.
You don't want to own that boat. You want a friend. Let him own the boat.
We walked into Chops Super Bowl weekend.
Yes.
And he was the one that kicked two movie stars out of their seat. And you know who sat there? Rusty Mansell.
Yeah.
And our partner.
Because he's a regular.
He's a regular.
And Sylvester Stallone's only there, you know, every couple of years. 404-726-0930.
Good question. Y'all call
I put this. I laid it on a tee for you. It's like when Rusty was coaching 10-year-old softball. He had that. Well, you don't have a tee in softball as much as it. But that's how you get that swing. That's how you get that swing.
Yes, sir.
The college basketball player you absolutely fell in love with. The hip-hop song that brings back memories. And a local tavern that does it right. A local tavern. And that could be where you went to college.
A lot of Spyro friends. I see the tweets. West Georgia, I gave you some shout-outs. Spyro, it was a really good place in Carrollton, Georgia.
All right, let me give you the big game of the night, courtesy of John Foy and Associates. I don't know. We'll stay with the NCAA tournaments. The North Carolina Ole Miss game is 4:05 on TNT. You may be out there with Mike Bell over there. At, where are they going to be this afternoon? Twin Peaks?
Cancun.
In Buckhead? Yeah. that's a real good game. Connecticut and Oklahoma, that's a TNT game tonight. Xavier and Illinois, that's a 9:45. These are little bitty spreads. These are first-round games with little spreads. Liberty has become a sexy pick. Liberty got beat by Kennesaw State earlier this year, and Kennesaw State had Liberty on the ropes as well.
The trendy pick today is Troy. Great rebounding team against Kentucky.
Okay.
A lot of upperclassmen.
What's the number on that game?
I don't know, but that's the trendy pick. Everybody's
11
on
and a half.
11 and a half. Troy, great rebounding team, good guard play. I like Carolina, and I like Troy plus 11 and a half.
I like that 11 a lot as well. Everybody looking at a flawed Kentucky team under Mark Pope. Let's take some phone calls. All right, Tinker, college basketball player you fell in love with.
Steph Curry, I believe it was Davis. Hey, is Steph Curry when he played Davis?
Yeah, that's a good one. Hip-hop song brings back great memories.
Anything by Run DMC, literally just put it in, hit play, shuffle, it doesn't matter.
Yes, sir.
Local tavern that does it right.
This kills me. I told you about this place twice before. You finally went, and you loved it, and that's Lassiter's Tavern over there in Vinings.
Lassiter's in Vinings is the definition of a pub tavern local. I mean, it smells, it looks, just the whole set. Appreciate it. Had a great time there. I know the owner was listening when we were talking about it, but Lassiter's Tavern in Vinings, a lot of bougie places around there. That's down home. CJ in Dallas, college basketball player you fell in love with.
Man, the run JJ Redick had when I was young is just unmatched.
Yeah, wow.
He had some you know what to him.
Well, you're seeing it now with the Lakers.
Yeah,
dude.
He's got a swag. He would turn to a student section and leave a finger up in a heartbeat.
There's a reason they're the most hated and loved program in players. A hip hop song that brings back the best memories.
Young Money, Every Girl in the World, my first trip to Panama City, it played everywhere we went.
You've never been the same, have you?
Local.
I think about it often.
Local tavern that does it right. Local.
There's a place up there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in Trenton, Pennsylvania. It's called the Eagles. They've known my name for years.
Great call, buddy. Thank you.
We could literally take calls 30 minutes on those three questions. Guaranteed. Those were home run questions.
So we'll put that up online.
You will get some good ones with that.
Follow at Rusty Mansell _ at Steak Shapiro. Lots happening today. Andy and Randy coming up next. Mike Bell after that. I think Chris is working with him. And going to be a fun weekend.
Duke's in Vegas? I saw.
He's in Vegas. He's doing his thing. Also keep in mind, we'll have the games on Westwood One. Get the Odyssey app. Get the Odyssey app anywhere
easy
you
app.
Are.
Easy.
If
app.
You're like, you know, you're in some travel soccer, i.e. lacrosse.
If you're in the bronze bracket Sunday, you can come back and listen to us today from 9 to 11.
You know it. Hey, take care. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your week. Bye.